Food Dude and Friends is brought to you by Visit OKC, inviting you to experience the energy, excitement, and welcoming spirit of Oklahoma City. Learn more at visitokc.com. Hey everybody, I'm Dave Cathy, the Food Dude, here with Food Dude and Friends once again, along with Julie Porter Scott. Julie, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Dave?
Well, you know, I'm doing really well. It's been a long time since you and I sat down together for a thing like this, and you know, I think we should have a lot of fun with it, talking about the things that we know best.
Right.
A little bit of food, a little bit of drink, a little bit of going out, maybe figuring out what's cooking.
I think you know more than a little bit about the food scene.
Well, let's let the future decide.
Okay? Right.
That's right. Let's just leave it to ourselves. We'll be sharing some news. We'll be sharing some fun, and we'll have a lot of fun guests from around Oklahoma. People who know a little something about food, more than me, more than you.
I like it.
You like it? You think you can live with this?
Yeah, I can hang.
All right. You sure you don't have anything better to do?
No.
All right.
I mean, I have other things that I have to do, but this is my favorite thing that I get to do.
Then I guess that's all we need. Let's talk about what's going on in food in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, I think you have some Kevin Lee news.
Yes.
Yes,
we've been sitting on this for a while. Kevin Lee, if you're listening to this podcast, watching this podcast, there's a decent chance you've heard of Kevin Lee. Chef Kevin owns Birdies by Chef Kevin Lee. Very, very fancy name. But Kevin's big claim to fame this year in particular is that he appeared on Guy Fieri's Tournament of Champions, the 150,000 Tournament of Champions, and finished in the top 10. Took out the defending champion in week one, and he's been on TV a whole bunch ever since. He just had a watch party at his restaurant for his appearance on Bobby Flay's Triple Threat, where he had the bartender from New York who was on the show there doing special drinks. Well, here in a couple of weeks, at the end of August, he's going to be bringing some celebrity chefs to Birdies. Dale Taldy, who was kind of one of the OG chefs from Bravo's Top Chef. Dale comes he's originally from Chicago, but he'll be coming here from New York. He has a Filipino restaurant in New York. He's a multiple James Beard nominee, all the accolades, and he'll be bringing some of those flavors to Birdies, and that would be the last Saturday of August. The night before, on Friday, Nini Nguyen, mm-hmm. who is another celebrity chef, she's got a book coming out. Nini will be introducing her first book. She's launching a book tour on that Friday that she's here, and she'll be doing a collaboration dinner with Chef Jeff Chanchaloon at Birdies. So Jeff is going from Madeira to Birdies mm-hmm. to do a collaboration with Nini. So two nights, tickets are available. I believe they're $150 a piece for seats, and it promises to be a spectacular couple of nights. Friday night and Saturday night.
Okay.
Folks who go on Friday will get a copy of Nini's book. So if that matters to you, keep that in mind. Dale has a book or two. I don't know if he's going to be given any way with the tickets
right.
or not. But you can ask when you call. But anyway, just check in with Birdies. They're selling tickets right now. Kevin has been planning this event for a number of months, so it should be really, really spectacular.
That's great. He's just doing so much. I don't know how he does everything that he does right now, but the food's always exceptional.
Always.
The guest chefs and collaborators that he's bringing in are tons of fun.
Yep. Jesse Gomez is doing a great job as a sous chef for Kevin at Birdies right now. Kind of an informal agreement those guys have going, but it's working out really well. Jesse, I noticed this weekend he's actually doing some of his own specials now. The menu has been coming out great. Kevin is not going to complicate that menu. He has too many TV appearances coming up.
Right.
to complicate that menu. So he's going to keep it simple at least through the end of the year. And I expect this will not be the last time celebrity chefs or Food Network chefs, top chefs, whatever you want to call them, folks from out of town, I don't expect this will be the last time we see them at Birdies.
I bet you're right.
Yeah. Should be fun.
And then tell me about, so you and I haven't talked mm-hmm. about Pearl Mesta mm-hmm. since mm-hmm. you went.
Yes.
And it was early July, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. But you and I haven't sat down since then, so I haven't even
heard how it was or
what you thought.
They opened last week of June, mm-hmm. and I was not able to make it until the first week of July. And that was part chef. We're talking about Andrew Black's new restaurant, Pearl Mesta, in the Skirvin Hotel, in the Skirvin Hilton Hotel. Sorry, Conrad Hilton, rest in peace. Want to leave your name out. He opened last week of June. I went in in July because he had run out of food that first week. And, you know, as these things go, when you're very popular and a lot of people want to come check you out, that he was overrun the first week. We go in week two, had a very nice meal. But like the night we were there, that was the first time they had a liquor license. So everything's that first couple of weeks. I can't speak to anything beyond that because I have not been back since that first visit. But yeah, it felt like a soft opening.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like. Like folks at home or folks that don't know what that means exactly, a soft opening is usually what restaurants do before the official opening. Well, Andrew opted not to do a soft opening. They're very expensive to run, very expensive. So I don't blame him for that. He just thought, we'll just run this through and I'll limit seating. And so he did do that. He was limiting his reservations. So like
by about half.
Yeah, at least half.
Yeah.
And on the weekends, maybe even a little less than half. Just so it's a small group of people dining and they feel like they can control the service a little bit better. I can only speak to my experiences. And like, for instance, in my experience, Andrew was our waiter because the way they sat us, we sat right by the expo area where food comes out and Andrew was running the expo. So he was simply just walking food over.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like a true full dining experience. But the food we had some really exceptional duck, roasted duck that evening, and a couple other really nice things. He's got, it's not a, like, somewhere between, if you're curious what the food is like, I would say right between Black Walnut and Gray Sweater.
Which is kind of what I'm always after.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't do Black Walnut
yeah.
that often.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't do the full Gray Sweater treatment
yeah.
more than probably once yeah. or twice a year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But I also think part of the reason for a soft opening in the traditional sense is to get people talking
yeah.
about your place.
Yeah.
And he didn't need that because it was all anybody was talking
yeah,
about for most of the summer, I think, in Oklahoma City.
Best Chef Southwest doesn't need that kind of talk.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's kind of built in. So you just kind of skip that step. And so folks who were in the first couple of weeks might have actually experienced something a little bumpier than they're used to.
Right.
Potentially. I know I heard a little bit of that kind of stuff, but I hate to get into that if I didn't experience it myself. So no surprise there at all. But Pearl Mesta is alive and well and rocking and rolling. I don't know if the last time I was there a couple of weeks ago at the Skirvin, the entrance between the lobby and Pearl Mesta was still not open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So everybody goes through the big new
yeah,
main.
Yeah, that main entrance in the front. The unfortunate part for when I was there is to use the restroom, you had to do the same thing. You had to leave the premises, go out the front, and then go in the front of the lobby to get it.
Well, you love to make an entrance.
Hey, that's right. Big entrances. That's right. If you're into big entrances. And hey, guess what? If the lobby entrance opens, you can skip it if you like a big entrance and just do it that way. So.
Well, that's great. I'm excited to check it out. Obviously, know that it's going to be wonderful in the long term.
Right. It will. Oh, it'll be great. And yeah, you know, Pearl Mesta has opened, and we know that Pearl Mesta is named for a very famous woman in Oklahoma City history by the name of Pearl Mesta. I think probably for a long time, people confused Pearl with another Pearl in Oklahoma City, Pearl's Oyster Bar. Probably they thought Pearl's Oyster Bar was named after Pearl Mesta.
Right.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I'm not exactly sure who it was named
after. It's an oyster bar.
Oh, an oyster. Oh, yeah. I get it. But I can tell you this. I can tell you it opened 50 years ago.
Whoa.
This year.
Wow.
50 years ago. Is that not something?
That is crazy. So the first one was the one that was over...
On 63rd.
By Chesapeake.
Yep. Yes, yes.
And
before
then,
Chesapeake existed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that one was 50 years...
Yeah, 50 years ago this summer. And now, of course, Pearl's... Now, a lot of folks may not know this, but when that original Pearl's grew like crazy. We had, two or three of them here in the city at one point. But they actually ended up in Texas. I grew up in Austin, Texas, and I moved away in 1986, the very year that Pearl's came to Austin.
Was a trade.
Yeah, it was
a
trade.
Did a trade.
It was a trade. Austin won, obviously. But they've since cashed in their Pearl's, and Oklahoma City still has theirs, and they're stuck with me. So unfortunately, Oklahoma City, you got bamboozled again. But that's okay, because Pearl's is great, and I'm happy to be here. But I was talking to Paul Seichel, the founder of Pearl's, and
that guy's a hoot.
He is. He's something else. And Paul reminded me that Pearl's was not his first restaurant. He actually had a number of restaurants before then, but the very first one was a deli, and it was called Subway.
Oh.
And it opened in 1975 or 74, sorry. And it was not Subway as we know.
Wow.
In fact, when that Subway eventually arrived, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, they had to write Paul a nice fat check.
A nice little check.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Which he took and did not close. So Subway was a little, it was a deli and it also had beer in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that when he and his wife Linda opened it together, he was not old enough to get the liquor license. He was only 19 or 20. And,
wow.
And so she had to get it because she was a little older. And that's how they started doing business. And they opened a second one in on the Northwest Expressway in, I think it was 1987. And that one lasted for a long time. His Subway lasted 26 years.
Wow.
And eventually closed it. The original Subway was that little spot, a lot of people remember, that was Pearl's Cajun Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That had the little drive-through.
Yes.
Over on, is that Meridian out there?
I think so.
Yeah. And so that was the original Subway. That was Paul's first restaurant. And 26 years, turns into Cajun Kitchen, and off into the sunset. So congratulations to Paul's Cycle.
Are they doing anything for
50? They may have done some stuff already, and we just missed it.
Maybe we should just go and have some daiquiris.
We'll just go have some daiquiris and some red beans, a big old bowl of red beans and rice.
That sounds amazing.
Question for you about Pearl.
Sure.
Do you have any kind of, did you frequent the original?
Yes.
Are you old enough to remember the days of wine and roses?
So here's what I'm old enough to remember.
Yes.
I'm old enough to remember hanging out at that Pearl's before I could drink and being the DD for friends who were old enough to drink. I remember going there not long after my 21st birthday and being like, so this is what it is, right?
You get to eat and drink at
yes. Pearl's. I loved that old Pearl's. And I love the one,
little
one on Klassen now.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
What I'm always so surprised, I think I'm just going to pop in here.
Yeah.
I'll sit at the bar and grab a bite and whatever. And it's always packed.
It's always packed.
And you can't tell because the parking's in back.
Yeah.
You pull back there and there's like nowhere to park. Yeah. And it's like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. And you're like, what?
It's that original. I do miss it. I have to say, I do miss it. But I don't miss the taste of exhaust when you'd be sitting on that patio. It was a beautiful patio. The parking was a joke. There was an office complex next door that with uneven parking that you'd have to jump into. It was crazy. But, I mean, Pearl's really is, I think we kind of overlook it a little bit.
Yeah, it's an institution.
It really is. It's been around so much longer than most places. And don't forget, Pearl's is also the umbrella for Crabtown, one of the first Bricktown restaurants, still going strong. And then the very often forgot Trapper's Fish Camp.
Yeah.
Out on, I believe it's on Reno.
Yeah, by the airport.
Yeah, towards the airport corridor. And it's really, they've got a great whiskey selection out there, do whiskey flights and things like that. So,
well, and just lots of good specials, catch it at different times.
Yeah.
And but no, I love, I'm a New Orleans girl.
Wherever I can get
Cajun food in Oklahoma City is a win for me.
And I feel like it's time, Pearl's opened at a time that anybody who's old enough to remember will remember that Cajun food was exploding at that time. That was right when Justin Wilson was at his most famous on PBS and Paul Prudhomme was right behind him. And then comes Commander's Palace and everything else. And around that time, you really were seeing Cajun food just talked about like on television and, how to make red beans and rice and all that kind of stuff. So Paul, very smart man, just jumped in on that trend and he stuck with it. So maybe it's coming back. Good luck to him. I hope so.
That's great. Now I'm hungry for Pearl's.
Hey, before we get going, I wanted to mention we do have a new place coming. Two doors down. All right. Two doors down.
Two doors down from here?
Two doors down from Symmetry.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Two doors down. It's called Two Doors Down, and it is Two Doors Down.
From Symmetry.
From the guys behind Symmetry. Jason Poole, Dave Osborne.
Okay.
They're behind this thing.
Is it as fancy?
I haven't been in myself yet, but I think it's going to be a little more cash. A little more casual, sort of a cocktail bar with some food and things like that. When we talk again, I will hope to have been in there and gotten a good look at it. But yeah, they're just getting ready to open here, I believe, on August 23rd is their opening
day.
That's
great.
So, yeah.
We needed more stuff over in that area. Symmetry opening was such a big deal.
It's a nice one.
Yeah.
I'm very happy, very, very happy with what they've done over there. The space is beautiful. A lot of money put into it, and they just said, "Hey, Let's just go with that.
Yeah. Two doors down. Okay, so, but it's open now?
No, August 23rd.
Okay.
August 23rd. It'll be open August 23rd. So be ready for that. I don't know if they're taking reservations. I bet you can find them online and find out, though. So.
You think you could, like, have drinks there and then wander down?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
You could probably do it the other way, and they'd be happy as well.
Either way.
But
yeah.
Just get over there is all they want
okay.
you to do. So we'll do our best.
I'm here for it.
Now, you want to know what the big news is, though, right?
Yeah.
The big news.
The big news.
The big news. Well, I think the biggest news today comes out of Nonesuch, and they seem to be doing that here lately.
Uh-huh.
Our friends from IDEST in Denver bought Nonesuch June 1st, and they have not come in slow. They have come in hot. I went to the Bruto pop-up that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Bruto was, that's their one of their Denver restaurants. Fabulous meal. It was very avant-garde, true tasting menu, but with some really big flavor bombs mixed in.
And it
in.
Looked gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
All the pictures I saw.
Yeah.
Just the every,
amazing.
All the presentation, all the plating
yeah.
was just.
Amazing. Amazing. I ran into Kevin Lee there. He mm-hmm. was like, Kevin was like clamoring. He just couldn't get over what a next level experience that was. And so now they're coming back with something bigger. I don't know if it'll be better, but it's certainly going to be bigger. They are actually bringing in Chef Brian Baxter of Catbird Seat
in Nashville.
Nashville, yes.
Ugh.
And he is going to be in town for 2 months.
Wow.
2 months. Not 2 days, not 2 weekends, not 2 weeks. 2 months. And they are, it appears that the IDEST folks are considering this a sort of mild sort of closing for Nonesuch. They are turning Nonesuch over to the Catbird Seat.
Wow.
So this will not be Nonesuch. This will be the Catbird Seat.
I have to go.
Yeah, yeah. And part of the excitement here is that Brian, who he aligns a lot with the IDEST, Kelly Whitaker and Erica Whitaker's approach. The sustainability is everything to him. And so he'll be bringing a lot of that inspiration in. And yeah, he's coming in for 2 months, and he's got a book coming out called The Catbird Seat that he's going to be launching right somewhere in the middle of this
oh, wow.
of this residency.
And he won't do anything without a great bar program.
Of course not.
So that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, and you got the den right there to make sure that that's happening. So he'll be there for 2 months making this making something really special happen. And what I'm curious about, I'm curious what you think about this, is what is going to be going on with Chef Garrett Hare and his crew. My initial thought was, you know, they're going to, you know, jump in and offer support. And I'm sure they'll do some of that. But it appears that Brian is coming in with his own people. And the Nonesuch crew is going to be taking this time to sort of dig in locally.
Reset a little bit.
Reintroduce themselves to the market a little bit. And when I say that, I don't mean necessarily retail market. I mean more like the
farmers.
Yeah,
and
the farmers, the producers,
all that kind of stuff. The ranchers.
Really reestablish their local presence. I know that Ludovine, like before Ludovine moved from the space where Nonesuch is to its final home, they had already started to back off on some of the farm-to-table stuff. And it was intentional. They didn't hide it. It was very simple. It was just some of the local producers they had either quit doing business, or it had become too hard to deal with, or whatever.
It's a hard business.
Very hard
to be on that side of the business in Oklahoma.
It is.
And with all the changes that have happened, and with the weather, I definitely understood why they shifted that.
And it wasn't like they weren't using farm fresh ingredients. They just quit using only Oklahoma ones.
Mm-hmm.
So apples from Arkansas, okay.
Okay. Well, we will accept some regional items.
Yeah. So that's all it was. Now, Kelly, on the other hand, I think is more the other way. Like, it's more not only local, but what's across the street.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's the sustainability piece as well.
That's it. When you go to the trouble to grind your own wheat, then that tells you kind of all you need to know. Now, I'll say this. This is a little bit out of left field, but it's something I learned over the weekend about grilling grain or milling grain in the first place. When you and I talk about, oh, they mill their grain, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. That seems like nonsense. Why would you do that? Well, I was watching this documentary over the weekend about ships and things like that, just, you know, old-timey sailing. And they talked about how sailors milled their own grain aboard ships in those days.
Just because it was easier?
Because it's the only way you could have it.
Yeah.
Either you mill it or you don't have it.
Right.
So they figured it out. And guess what? It was easy enough. You could put a mill on a ship where there wasn't room for it and still make it happen.
Right.
So while it is awesome that they're doing it, we may be romanticizing.
It's not unheard of.
It's not crazy.
The Little Red Hen did it.
That's right. That's right. But that said, we love that they're doing it. We love that they are committed to this approach. And Brian exemplifies this approach. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he's going to give them a chance to, like you said, reset and make sure that not only is everyone in the kitchen on board, but all their producers and all their partners are on board as well.
I think Nashville, Catbird Seed, it's just such a natural fit for Oklahoma City. I've always wondered why there wasn't more parity back and forth. So maybe that's just the beginning of a lot more of that. With his outreach.
I cannot promise he will be bringing any hot chicken.
For sure. We're kind of stocked up on
We're
hot
okay.
chicken.
I think we're good. Yeah. I think we're good. We don't need any more. Please. No more.
Chill out on the chicken. Anything else new this week?
The Goose has opened.
Oh,
the Goose.
Yeah. So that's the former Elk Valley space.
Former Elk Valley space. I personally have not been myself. I know a couple of the guys from Stone Cloud are behind it.
That's such a cool space.
It's a very cool
space. Because you have
space.
That upstairs
patio,
outdoor patio.
Yes.
And did they take over the production facilities there too?
I'm not sure yet. Yeah. It looks a little different than it did before. And the whole thing messes me up because there's that giant
tower
thing there now. So they've got that too. But yeah, the Goose has been open for almost a week or maybe 2 weeks now.
We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, need to get in. Maybe by the time we get in, we'll swing by and check them out. But yeah, as far as new places to eat, that's all that I know of right now.
Yeah.
So, but I think the other thing that I'm really excited about that's coming up this month in Oklahoma is, again, it has to do with food, but not exactly food. And that is the arrival of Routes.
Oh, the new show.
Yes.
From the Discover Oklahoma peeps.
The Discover Oklahoma production. Mm-hmm. I don't know how at all, you know more about this kind of stuff than I do, but I know VI Marketing played a significant role in the production.
Yeah, they partner pretty closely with tourism, I think.
Yes, I don't know all the particulars, but kind of their baby. And Stuart Hudson and I from Edible were interviewed to kind of give some context for one episode in particular. And I think it's the first episode that's airing on August 22nd.
And it has a beautiful new look.
Oh, man.
Really high production value. It's
completely cinematic.
Seems like it'll hang on to the same things that we loved about Discover Oklahoma telling these really wonderful local stories and taking us all over the state every week. Mm-hmm. But just an elevated...
Different approach. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the episode I saw concentrated on three chefs, okay? And I know, like, anybody who watched Discover Oklahoma before knows that every episode had at least one restaurant of some kind. And it would be a very basic drop by, you know, Sid's Diner and visit with Marty and have him flip a couple burgers.
Yeah, and like show some locals.
Hey, I love that. Way to go, Marty, from the counter. Yeah. You know, like, very nice. I mean, no complaint, no criticism at all. But it was very, like... You can almost predict. Oh, it's going to be that guy over there by the window. They're going to talk to her by the window. I'm sure of it. But this show is not that. The first episode I saw took us to Madeira Lao Kitchen, took us to the Gray Sweater, and took us to Fat Tabs in Ida Bell. Mm. All three places, not just one. And then talked to all three of the chefs, intermingled over each other. Just here we are at Tabs, here we are at Gray Sweater, here we are at.
And
Madeira.
So maybe like some themes.
Yeah. Yeah, just like a full, it was a 30-minute conversation with these chefs and kind of their inspirations and their approach. And then, you know, dummies like me and Stuart kind of fanboying over him a little bit.
Be nice to Stuart.
Well, Stuart's not a nice guy. I joke.
But there's a trailer, right?
Yeah, there's a trailer. So, and I think we ought to probably take a look at it.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right.
That sounds great. That was great.
Not bad.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. August 22nd. It'll be out. I guess that's Channel 9. But you know what? It'll be everywhere. I'm sure it'll be on YouTube. It'll be in all the places. Yeah, you'll definitely want to check that out. Beautifully shot. And it's just a really intimate look at some of our most talented chefs.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said that Discover Oklahoma needed a... a full rebrand, but I think it looks amazing. I'm excited.
Hey, I am too, and I hope everybody at home is as well. With that, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you next time on Food Dude and Friends.
Thank you. Food Dude and Friends is brought to you by Visit OKC, inviting you to experience the energy, excitement, and welcoming spirit of Oklahoma City. Learn more at visitokc.com.